Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Ezekiel, chapter 8. The title of my message is, What is in Your Mind? You know, when you think about the mind is pretty powerful. And the mind can either bring out good things or it can bring out evil things. And one of the things about the mind is like a computer. There's so much data in our, you know, in our brain that when you come to Jesus Christ, it's like God has to reprogram your brain and puts all these new things into your mind and heart, because otherwise we wouldn't be transformed. We wouldn't be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And when I think of how many of us here this morning, where God has not only touched our lives, but what He's doing in each one of our hearts, my prayer would be that none of us would leave the same as we came here today, but that God will really change all of us here. Because we're living in very exciting days. The Lord could come at any time. We don't know when, but we know that things are really moving rapidly. And yet at the same time, even though the Lord tarries, surely we worship Him in spirit and truth. Surely we want to be in God's perfect will. And when I think of our own personal minds, I think of how God has given us a new mind in Christ Jesus, so that we can not only know Him, but we can worship Him and come to that place in our lives that we can say, you know what? I am truly a born again child of God. The reason I chose Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is an amazing book to my life. As I look at this book, let's look at chapter here 8, beginning with verse 1. As we go back in time, 2,700 years ago. And Ezekiel is called the Son of Man. And what he does here in chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, we have this tremendous vision. On hearing God's servant to the prophet, he says in verse 1, he says, And it came to pass in the sixth year of the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, that I, Ezekiel, was sitting at my house with the elders of Judah, sitting down. Notice what he says here. He says, Before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been, you know, in your closet or wherever you're driving or wherever you are, and the hand of the Lord falls upon us. It's an amazing thing to know that God loves you so much that He would put His hand on you, because He wants to use you. He wants to do a tremendous work in your life. Like Ezekiel here, God is going to give him a vision. God is going to take him from the present, even into the house of the Lord. And surely in these last days, with so many computers and so much data and so much electronics, where it's so easy to sin. So easy to sin. And yet, if we truly want to be in the kingdom of God, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We all sin. Every one of us, man, miss the mark. Every one of us, every day. But we don't want to transgress against God. That's a willful act. As God touches our hearts, as God begins to work in our hearts like Ezekiel here, we need to understand that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. We're not here by coincidence. God has something that He wants to do in your life, but before He can do it in your life, He wants you to know His holiness. His holiness. Being set apart for Him. Verse 2. And then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire. From the appearance of His waist and downward, fire, and from His waist and upward, like an appearance of the brightness, like the color of amber. And then He stretched out His form of a hand. He took me by the locks of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven. And He brought me in vision, notice, of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate, in the inner court where the seed of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. Now, one of the things that God does to Ezekiel, He takes him back to the house of the Lord, because the house of the Lord is a place of worship. Many times I tell people, we come into this beautiful building, this beautiful property, and it's so beautiful. But then at the same time, when we come here in this building, the roof is only to keep us from rain, snow, the wind, because we are the temple of the living God. We have become God's temple. And if any man defile the temple of God, God himself shall destroy him. We need to have a consciousness of his presence. And he lives with me. You know, we have this mentality. You know, I went to church today, and now the rest of the week I leave God in church, then I come back and pick him up the next Sunday. It doesn't work that way. Wherever you go, he goes. Wherever you sit, he sits. Wherever ever you go, the presence of God is with you. You know why? Because he loves you. I had never experienced the love of God. And the love of God washes away everything. I am so thankful to God for you, for what God is doing here. For God, what God is doing in my life. And I pray that the Holy Spirit truly, truly would change our hearts today. To become salt and light. Salt and light in this world that is so dark. So many people going to hell. It really bothers me. That people so simple to come to Jesus Christ. But then I think of my own heart before I came to Christ. And your heart before you came to Christ. How the Holy Spirit had to really convict us and humble us and bring us before the presence of God. And who ever thought that God would use our lives at work, at the grocery store, at the gym? Wherever you go, God has a place for you to minister, not by preaching, but by your lives, by the way you live. Ezekiel was such a person. That when the Lord grabbed him by his hair and picked him up and took him back to the house of the Lord, in verse 4, notice what he says, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. And then he said to me, son of man, lift up your eyes now towards the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the north, and then the north of the altar gate was the image of jealousy at the entrance. You know, one of the things about the house of the Lord, as he not only has brought us here, the house of the Lord is a place of meditation, a place of prayer, and a place to grow in Christ Jesus by the teaching of the Word of God. But then as I travel across the world, so many churches have become places of idolatry, in places where there's death, no life. Especially in the days that we're living in today, we really have to stay close to the heart of God. Because if we don't, things can happen so rapidly that before you know it, you can be drifting away from the love and the grace and the mercies of God. And God wants you close to his heart. Close to the heart. That's the only place where God wants you. There is no other place. Apart from him, we can't do nothing. And I wonder how Ezekiel must have felt going back to the house of the Lord, where it was a place of worship, and now it's become a place of idolatry. A place of idolatry. He says in verse 6, furthermore, he said to me, son of man, he says, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go afar away from my sanctuary, not turn again, you will see greater abominations. So here God is speaking. Excuse me, let me give a Kleenex here. Blow my nose. I'll be dripping. The house of the Lord has become a real place of worship. And yet at the same time here, God takes him back to the house of the Lord so he can see that the house of the Lord has become polluted. But literally what he's doing, he's going to take us into our minds, the minds of the people. The minds of the people, what's really in our minds. He goes on in verse 8, he says, then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. So he gets up to the temple and starts digging through the wall, and there's a hole in the wall, and God's going to tell him, I want you to look into the temple. I want you to look into the minds of my people. You know, when I read the New Testament, it's really interesting that God wrote all these letters, the gospel Jesus gave to us, but all the letters that Paul wrote and Peter and James, Jude, they're all to the church. All to the church. And when you go back to the Old Testament, the way God gave us the Old Testament to bring us up to the New Testament, to show us these are the things that happened, learn from these things. And yet how many times we don't learn from the past into the present. And God has to remind us. Paul the Apostle in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, because he loves us so much and we are sons and daughters of God, and when we're out of tune with him, what does he do? He disciplines us. He kind of spanks us a little bit. And the reason for it, if I have my children and they're doing something wrong, if I let them do that, then I don't love them. And I tell you this, I have never been able to get away with anything since I came to Christ. You can't. Man, I hate it. I hate it because he's right there. Always remind me who he is and remind me who I am. It's crazy. But that's because he loves us so much. Imagine what the prophet must have felt, but think about this. Imagine how God feels when we grieve his Holy Spirit. When we are doing things that are not right before God. Because he loves us so much, he gets hurt. He gets hurt. And immediately he comes to you and he gives you opportunity after opportunity by his grace all the time to always return to that first love. The church needs their first love today. We need to return. He needs to be number one in our lives. If we're going to be powerful, if we're going to be strong in this generation that is going to come to an end one day, then we need to be salt and light to a world not only that is so dark, but a world that lost consciousness of God. Paul tells us a lot about that in the book of Romans, chapter 1, 18 to 32. The homosexuals, the lesbians, I mean, the whoremongers. I mean, just about every sin. Sin is sin. Sin separates me from God. And I think how Ezekiel, when he dug that hole through the wall, he looked through it, and look what he says. He says in verse 8 again, and then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I began to dig into the wall, there was a door. And then he said to me, go in. And it says, and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So God says, I want you to go into the minds of the people. And so I went in, and I saw there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. Now, one of the things that blew me away, he's not talking to the world. This morning, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to who? To the church. He was talking to Israel, God's people. Israel, God's people that he brought out, you notice, out of Egypt into the wilderness and then into the promised land. And when you go back to the Old Testament, way back in at the time when the children of Israel were coming out with Moses, 11-day journey, and because of their rebellion, because of their sin, it took them 40 years as God had to clean house. And I wonder if God today is speaking to us because he wants to clean house. Because he has such a work for each one of us individually that he wants to use every individual person here. I don't care who you are. And if you're a non-believer, by the end of the day, you're going to be a believer because God's going to get you good. You can't be the same person ever again. Seriously. And that's not religion. I hate religion. It's a personal love relationship with Christ. And that's what Ezekiel had. And imagine going out into the minds of the people. Verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud and incense went up. Now he's going to speak about the leaders that were supposed to lead the people into worship. And the most amazing thing is in the Old Testament, from Isaiah to the book of Jeremiah to the Lamentations and then to the book of Ezekiel into the book of Daniel, you begin to see that every one of the messages is for the people of God. The people of God were backslidden. The people of God had become just like the world. Then how can the world believe us when we can't even do what God says in our own lives, and the church not being salt and light? The world says, you know what? I don't want to hear from you. You'll never be effective until you start living the Christian life. And not by preaching, it's by the way you live. By the way you live your life. And these people here, the elders of the temple, they were in the temple in verse 12. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in dark? Every man in the room of his idols. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Imagine that. They think that God is not omnipresent. He's not here. He doesn't see what I do. The thing that blows my mind in my own life is that God sees everything that I do, and wherever I go, he's there. We got to get that in our minds. The situation here with the elders, they were idolaters. So how can the people of God believe the things of God if the eldership and the pastors and the evangelists are not living the life of Christ? There's so many in the pulpits of America today that are ripping off the people financially. They've got a girlfriend, whatever it is, and it seems like they don't listen, they don't care, and then they get caught. And then what happens? They try to repent, but it's not real repentance. Real repentance is the Holy Spirit convicting you before you get found out. And then when you get found out, is the real true repentance? I don't know about that. There has to be a change in your heart. And yet these people, he says, were of Israel. They were in the room with their idols, for they said, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And then he said this in verse 13. And then he said to me, Ezekiel, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. I mean, what more can you see if the leaders are not right? What else can you see? I mean, they're supposed to lead. They're supposed to be the example. And yet he says in verse 14, so he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Imagine this. The women crying out, weeping to Tammuz, another god. Another god. And the history to Tammuz, you got to read, it's a pretty amazing. And then he said in verse 15, and then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, and I'm going to show you greater abominations. Can you imagine that? The people of God were so deep in sin, not only the leadership, but the people. They were deep in sin. And then as a church, how can we expect God not only to reach our community, but how can we expect God to use our lives in order when we go to work, wherever we go, and to share our faith with them when we know in our hearts that we ourselves are not living it? it'd be better to keep quiet than share with people. We need to get our hearts right before the Lord because things are happening so rapidly. It's so cool coming in here to the house of the Lord and seeing so many of you guys. And what a blessing it is. That as you're transformed, as God begins to use your life, that maybe you can go out and maybe God gives you discernment. For those at work that work with you, guys that work with you, that are continuing their drinking, man, and all that stuff that is destroying their homes, destroying them. And then I think, okay, we can do that, but think about how many within the church. I mean, how many in the church are still, you know, using, dope, still drinking. And I wonder how many of us here have a girlfriend on the side. If we come into the house of the Lord, God's not going to kill you, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will really convict you so you can be changed. So you can become a real man of God. You can become a real husband, a real father to your children. And if you're a father and you have a family, are you being the spiritual leader of your home? Are you spending time with God so you can spend time with your children and with your wife and leading them in the Lord, to grow in the Lord? Don't neglect that. Your children are very important. And then the children, they come to Sunday school, they go to the high school, whatever they do, and then they come home and they see hypocrisy because the father abuses verbally the mother or physically, whatever it is, or uses profanity, watches things on television that he should not. There's leaven in the home. God can't move until the leaven is taken out of the home. And if you really love your family, you really want to see your children walk with God in the future, you need to be the spiritual leader and the example so that God can use your life and your children can come back one day and say, Mom and Dad, thank you for my upbringing and leading me to the Lord. They're not going to be perfect, I'll tell you that right now. My son Ryan, he went away for 19 years into drugs. 19 years. It was one of the hardest things in my life. Because my other kids, they didn't even get into drugs or nothing like that. And every Saturday night, before I teach on Sundays, I would be looking for them. Because I thought he was going to die. He almost got killed in Russia. They stabbed him in Russia. They cut up his hand. He blocked the knife. And he would have gone to hell. And through prayer, one of the skateboarders called me on a Saturday night and said, your son's going to die here in Panama City. He took the skateboard groups all over the place. My son has a company. And he takes my other son, Ryan, he went around all the world taking his skateboarders, you know, to do shows everywhere. And there in Panama City, he went back to the hotel, went to his room, and he says he was thinking, man, what am I doing with my life? I'm going to die. And he opened the drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible there. The Gideon loved that guy. They made him a Gideon. And he opened the Bible, he started reading it, and he put it down. He went to bed. The next morning, they got on the plane to come back, and the skateboard team sat on one side. He sat on the other side, and they said they were blown away because he read the Bible all the way 7 hours to LAX. And then he got to LAX, he called me, he went to bed, he came back the next day, he says, Dad, I'm looking for a rehab. I said, you know, why don't you go ahead, get in my office, get Chuck's CDs, start listening to Chuck, and get a Bible, start reading the Bible. He did that, and it's been 5.5 years. He never went to rehab. God just did an incredible ministry in his life. So I want to give you, man, hope, because you might have kids like that. Listen, if you train them up in the ways of the Lord will always bring them back. They're all human. Don't get down on your children. Every one of them is different. Every one of them. Love them. Love them to death. You'll blow your mind what God will do. And so now Ezekiel, as he's here looking at every abomination, look what he says in verse 15 again. Then he said to me, "Have you seen this? So son of man, turn again and I will show you greater abominations than these." And so he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, notice, in their backs towards the temple on the Lord, notice, and the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun from the east. I used to do that before I came to Christ. I've been in the marshes for 40-some years, and, you know, I try to come in, try to get an experience. My wife used to laugh at me, man, because I'd be in the bed, how stupid, huh? You know, and it's amazing because here these guys are facing the sun worshiping. I look at the world today, and I think all these new agers, you know, they're stretching. They're doing all that stuff, man. And you know what? There's no peace to the wicked. I don't care what they do. The only way that a person can have peace is when you surrender. You submit. You give it all up. And you say, "Lord, I am sick and tired of my life. I want to surrender to you. And Lord, I ask you to come into my life and baptize me with your power so that I can become an instrument of your righteousness." Of your righteousness. That's why Ezekiel was being used. Check this out. Verses 17 through 18 now. And he said to me, "Have you seen this, son of man?" He says, "It is a trivial thing." He said, "A trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch in their nose." So here these guys in front of the house of the Lord, they were sitting down, looking at the sun and worshiping the sun. Worshiping the sun from the elders to the people and now these 25. And then think of what the heart of God was feeling. Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. Where God had been proclaiming judgment. God had been proclaiming repentance. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And if we don't listen, then what's going to happen? Then God's going to have to spank us. Some, you know, light, some pretty heavy. But then it's not because he hates us. It's because he wants to get our lives right so that we can give glory and honor to his holy name. Holiness unto the Lord. For there's only one holy, and that's him. And look how God has brought you here today. And maybe you came with an illness sitting here, and God may touch you and heal you. You got to be open to the Holy Spirit to see what God intends to do in your life. And as God went into the minds of these people, think about this. What's in your mind today? What's in your mind throughout the week? Pornography? I was blown away at one of the conferences I went. There was about 4,000 men. And we asked, how many of you, without embarrassing anybody, which I want to close your eyes, how many of you are in pornography? 80% of those people in pornography, men, in a church. 80%. When I was a young kid, I used to go with my dad to bars and clubs, you know. And the first time I saw pornography, I was only 7 years old. 7 years old. And you know what? It affected me the rest of my life. I didn't get into pornography. But it gave me an anger within me. And to see my father double talk, where he was going out on my mom, going out with prostitutes, and he took me everywhere I went with them. And watching those things and becoming callous, and then he coming home and beating up on my mom. My goal was to kill him. I hated him. To kill him. And I remember when I came back from Vietnam one day, I was in his kitchen, and he tried to push me around. I grabbed his butcher knife, and I was going to cut his throat. And then he knew something was different. He knew something was different. And then I got saved 4 years later. And you know what's amazing? The way God can transform our lives. Transform our lives, you guys. And that's why we're here today. Not only to be fed by the Word of God, but I pray that the Word of God will have great conviction in all of our lives. In all of our lives. And to open our minds so that God can fill our minds with Himself. Godly thoughts. So if you came with actually a dirty mind, listen, God can clean your mind today. And every day as you get up in the morning, you take a shower, you get dressed, you eat breakfast, then you go to work, then where is your armor when you go out? The priority should be not the shower. The priority should be the Word of God and prayer. To get up in the morning, maybe an hour early, and spend time with God so that when you go out of your house, man, you got the full armor of God. And if Satan comes along, man, you know, in the name of Jesus, boom, boom, you know, kick him out of the way. He's demons. But if you get defeated, it's only your fault, not God's fault. Because you haven't been that spiritual man and then praying for your wife and your children throughout the day. And when you come home, spend time with them. Don't get plugged into the TV. Spend time with them, loving them, caring for them. And standing up and saying, for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. We don't care what anybody else does, but we are going to worship the Lord our God. Verse 18, he says, therefore, I also will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Wow. That's a sad thing when God doesn't hear anymore. Today, God is hearing. He's here. The problem that God doesn't hear is because we continue in our sin. There's no change. There's no transformation. There's mocking at God. There's hypocrisy. We're actors like the Romans on stage. We can put up any face we want to. But we should only have one face. At home, at work, wherever we go. And through that, people are going to come to you. I surf in Southern California. When I went there to All Men's in San Clemente, nobody would talk to me. They didn't know I was a pastor either. I don't tell them. And what I did, in order, because these guys are territorial, you know, they're on this side. I was over here for 2 weeks. And I said, how can I get these guys, man? So I made hot sauce for them. And I took hot sauce to them. And then next week, they go, hey, that was pretty good. You want to come over here? And through the last 8 years, many of those guys have come to know Christ without preaching. Without preaching, they come with me, their problems, man. I just share with them. And you can be that person. No matter where you are at the gym, people will come up and talk to you. No matter where you are. You know why? Because Christ will use your life because He loves you guys. He loves you guys so much. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To repentance. I don't want God to be like this when I pray. I want God to have an open ear for me. And the only way I can do that is to humble myself before Him and to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. Because we are sinners. We are sinners. Father, I pray in Your name. And I thank You so much for these wonderful people, Lord. For this beautiful church, Lord God, for Joni's wife, Father, for all the years that I've known them, Lord. A real man of God, Lord. Lord, I pray for his kids. Lord, I pray for all these guys' wives and those that are single, Lord God, their children, their place of employment. And Lord, we ask You that You would baptize us with Your Holy Spirit. Fully, completely, Lord God. Lord, that as we listen to the next speakers, we would have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord, we love You and we thank You for these things. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys.